Father, we thank you because you are so sweet and you are awesome. You're beautiful. You're so beautiful, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. You're so sweet, Lord. So beautiful. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for gathering your people. Thank you for speaking to us. You are never tired and you will never leave us alone. Thank you, Jesus, for this privilege, this grace. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made us able to partake of this. Lord, we bless you. Tonight, let your name be established. Let the glory of the Lord be revealed in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Welcome to tonight's fellowship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. I want to talk today about a topic that I have treated before, but I was laughing at myself this morning, and I was telling, I think it was you one day, she spent that day with me, and I was telling her that I'm going to teach on the usefulness of boredom. And she was like, what kind of topic is that? You know, but I've changed my mind. I didn't change my mind, though. I just had that topic in my head somewhere. So, praise God. But tonight, the Lord will be speaking to us about count it all joy. I've had the message before. I've preached it here before. But I'm going to preach it again. I'm going to be blessed. But there's going to be a miracle that will happen tonight. And I'm also looking forward to that miracle. Amen. So let's see James 1. You know, in the Christian faith, you have to really study James. Okay, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various what? Trials. Praise God. But you know, before you are able to count anything at all, you have to understand why. Why are you counting it? You know, like I said before that if you must count anything, you should count your blessings. You know that song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. I think we need to sing a song about count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because this also a very foundational... it's foundational for a Christian to know how to count. To know how to count it joy when you fall into. We don't usually count it joy when we fall into various trials. And, you know, the Lord will be teaching us tonight by the Holy Spirit how to then count. And you're going to gain mastery of it. It says, count it all joy. Many a times what we count is our blessings, actually. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should count your blessings. Okay? Because in counting also, in counting during trials and tribulation, one of the pillars or one of the strength to count is also the victories you've had. So it's good to count your blessings. But James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The next verse says, knowing. Now, this is what I want you to see and look into a little bit. It says, knowing that the testing of your what? Faith produces what? So this is why we count. It's because of a knowledge. So the reason why you didn't used to count is because you didn't know. So now the Bible says, knowing. You know, one of the things I used to really celebrate in my walk with God is trials. I'm one that really celebrates it. And it's very strange because I feel like I'm the only one. Maybe I have some company here, but I celebrate trials because of knowing. I really celebrate it. And sometimes, once a while, I say, bring it on, Lord. Because of knowing. Once you know what trials and tribulation can do, Then you count it, and it will be a joyful count. So it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without what? Reproach. It's only God that gives you wisdom without having you. He will not tell you, sure, your head is not correct. Why are you asking me? You know, we all do that actually. When someone comes to you for wisdom and counsel, you say, ah, you mean you don't know this? But the Lord gives his own without the reproach. And it will be given towards to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I would implore us that when you're reading the scripture, read the entire chapter. Try not to take out a verse from a chapter, because sometimes when we read this verse, for let not, you know, that's double-minded man. I've learned it another way, actually. It was reading this that I saw that actually the Lord is talking about wisdom, the asking of wisdom. And in another scripture, it says that the wisdom that he gives, that comes from above, is first peaceable. It is pure. So if anybody is giving you wisdom and it does not have all those characteristics, it's not from God. You understand? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So let's see verse 3 again. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let's see Romans 5. It's going to be a very sweet Bible study. Praise God. Romans 5, 3 to 5. I want to read it in KJV and also Amplified. Amplified, I usually say that is the women's Bible. To expand everything. You know, we talk too much. Praise God. Hallelujah. 5:3. Okay. And not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations. Can you see that line? Don't rush to read it. Meditate on it. It says we glory what? In tribulations. This is Paul, of course. We glory in what? It's such a strange word, right? It's quite strange. Then the other day when Pastor Obi was preaching to us about hope, it was as though they took us back to the 70s. This is some of the scriptures that we need to hold firm in our hearts. That's why I say it's foundational. We glory what? In tribulations. So in case you are going through trials and tribulation, what should you do? Simple. But a lot of people cry in tribulations. It's a natural thing. But when you go to the scripture, it gives you another thing entirely to do. It says, glory in tribulations. And sometimes you can read the scripture and then you're laughing like, please, I don't even have time for this right now. Please, let me first cry in my tribulation. But I love the scriptures because it teaches me how to do life. And the thing I've noticed over time working with God is once you do the scripture, you are fine. You are fine, I'm telling you. Bible says we glory in tribulation also. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. So what actually guides you glorying? You can't determine that when tribulation come, I will glory. No, you can't. It's not a determination. It is knowledge that makes you glory. Don't promise yourself or don't promise God. God, when tribulation comes, you see how I will worship you. Don't do that. It is knowledge that makes one glory. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience what? Experience. It actually works experience. Without the tribulation, there is no experience with God. So you want to experience God. Lord, I want to know you. One of the things you meet on your knowing the Lord is trials and tribulation. You must meet it. It's on the road. But when you meet it, what do you do? Don't ever forget that. Because knowing that this will produce patience, it will produce experience. And this experience, most often, is personal. It is your own. It has your name on it. Very personal. Most of the times, you can't explain it. It is your own. When you meet with Jesus, those are the things that you will be able to communicate about. But you don't have any experience. What are you going to tell Jesus? You ran away. When there was trials and tribulation, you took off. So knowing that it produces patience, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. But there again, hope. The next verse says, and hope. This hope is very powerful. It's not, I hope that I will be there. That hope is like, I think I will be there. It's a very powerless hope, actually. But this hope in the scripture, it is so powerful that it produces. When you hope in God, you will see what you hope about. Yes. It's very powerful, very potent. That when you hope in God, you will see it in your lifetime, what you hoped for. Hope does not make ashamed. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's see it in Amplified. A quick read in Amplified. That's Romans 5, 3 to 5. Moreover, let us also be full of what? Now, let us exalt and triumph in what? I like Amplified. There's no need for grammar. And you know me, I don't have plenty of grammar like that. Amplified, it says, our troubles. And what? Can you say it very loud? Put your hand on your chest and say it. That's how you speak to your soul. And in it is your emotions. So you speak to it. You speak the scriptures to your soul. You tell your emotions that you rejoice in your sufferings. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produces what? Patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude. See, I'm just telling you, without these things, you cannot be a strong Christian. Many a time, look into your life, a brief check. The things that have made you are actually your trials and tribulation. Actually. The things that have made you. The reason why you are in church today, most likely, is your trial and tribulation. I will tell you, it's very beautiful, actually. And we're going to see it today. So, develops an endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. Approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces what? It's not another person's own, it's your own. So when they are saying be joyful, they are praising God, it will be your own personal joy. Because as you are praising God, you are meditating. You are meditating on your experiences with God. So you have personal joy. Whether in church or out of church, you can dance alone in your room, just thinking about your experiences with God. It's personal. You know, after this teaching, regrets will disappear from your life. Yes. You have no regrets. Not one will remain. So the difference between Christian A and Christian B is the ability to know. It's just to know. Christian A and Christian B goes through the same thing, but one knows. So one that is going through the same thing can pacify the other that is going through the same thing, because the other is wailing and crying. But one knows what the trial produces. Christian A and Christian B. You know, one of the things I wrote in this book, in my notes, is Christians must learn to mourn. It's going to be strange what I'll read out, but it shouldn't be strange. Once you're working with God, you understand me. Christians should learn to mourn. Should learn to wail. You should learn to cry for. Learn to long for. Learn to be sober. Learn to be quiet. Learn to wait on. It should be part of your life. You know, this learning can delete worldliness and unholy excitement from your life. Learn it. I'll read it again. Christians must learn to mourn. And I'll see, let's see James 4, 8 to 10. That's it. That's why I said it may sound strange to you, but if you're working with God, if you're reading or studying your Bible, you see it's not a strange language. Those things I read are not strange languages. All right, so James 4, 8 to 10, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, the next verse is, what? No, wait, first stop at those three. Say it again, very loud. I just make a bold announcement. This is the route to lifting up. See, when you're already a big man and a big woman before the Lord, you will not be lifted. That's why they say things like, you remain a child. Pizak spoke about krazo. It is the longing. It is a cry of a child. I'm not saying this mourn does not mean you lose somebody. Or maybe you lost something, or you are suffering. No, this is not the mourning. This mourning is a longing. If you have not found just, if only, you know, you are just full of excitement as a Christian, and you are not full of mournings, lamentations, then there's something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. You are overly excited. No. From with your excitement, you must have to eat mourning. Enough dose of mourning. Enough dose of wailing. It retains your childlikeness. You must be before the Lord wailing. It's a longing. Wailing is not fake cry. This wailing, my brothers and sisters, is not emotional. It's a heart cry. Even the heads are waiting eagerly. They are waiting eagerly. Waiting eagerly, mourning, waiting for manifestation. This is, you are looking to God and you are seeking him, but with mourning, with wailing. So I tell you, if you are just an excited Christian, you won't last long. If your Christianity is just, oh, GG over. If you're just, oh, the Lord loves me, oh, my lover. If that's all you do, checking your life with God, something is wrong. It's like you don't understand the person you are relating with. You know, sometimes they are trying to fix our identity. Even God is trying to fix his identity inside us. When you understand who you are with in a relationship, you know, somebody rightly said that, even though God says we're his friend, like God calls us friend, but you must know the identity of the friend that you have. Now, you may be a friend to someone that works in the bank, Pastor Laul. If you want to go and see him in the bank, how will you go? You go. You just go. It's not that deep. If your friend works in estate management and is top boss, how will you go and see him? You just go. But if your friend is a king, how will you go and see him? How will you go and see a king? Okay, we don't have obas around, right? Just picture it in movies. If your friend is a king, there's a way to go and see a king. The way you go and see your friend that works in the bank, I'm even talking about top bosses, is different from the way you go and see Oba. So we are friends with a king. We don't go to him anyhow. He's king. He must even allow you in. He's, okay, let me use president. Since we're familiar with that one. We're friends with the president. Your friend is a president. Our friends can be president. You want to go and see him? Will you just go anyhow? Bah! Is it not color? Mofelori color now. Imagine Jide and Funsho, one of them becomes president. See how close they are. And Funsho just said, Jide, Mofelori Jide. Will you go and see him like that? Immediately Jide becomes king, Funsho cannot go and see him anyhow. It's not possible. That's what I mean. So when Pastor was talking about Krazo, don't be too friendly with the Lord. Yeah. Understand that you must cry for him and he must have mercy on you. Yeah. Don't just think that if you pray, you cry, you do this thing, you roll on the floor, he will answer you. No, he doesn't answer that way. No, he doesn't. He's a king. He will choose to bring you in. So you must harm yourself regularly. With mornings. With mourning. Is that mourning that leads us to repentance? Mornings. You must respect the Lord so much that you're not too big to wail before him. That wailing, that true, sincere wailing, genuine wailings, mournings. Cry. You must cry for, long for. How many a times you must be sober? They should be asking, your wife should be asking you, Kilo Share. I'm sober. I don't know. I just don't get myself. Because I'm longing for the Lord. If people around you have not noticed that thing, you need to fix it. You need to ask God to teach you how to mourn. Soberness. Soberness is one of the anchors of Christianity. I tell you. Soberness. Soberness is very powerful. You can get a download from heaven. Soberness is so powerful, the Lord can give you a direction that you have been praying for many years. Just being quiet before him. Soberness. Soberness. Not every time hip. Soberness. So I'm saying this. It's not even part of my message. I just say I should say it. You must harm yourself with soberness. Sorrowfulness. The sorrowfulness is not that you miss something or you lost something. It is just a part of your heart that is longing for the Lord. A craving for him, that you crave for him. That you are like, you're looking at yourself. You're like, I'm done with this flesh. I'm just longing for my maker, my master. It's a craving, it's a cry. And he will bless you with it. Let's see Matthew 5. You see, he will bless you with it. Matthew 5:4 says, you see there. Praise God. Can you see? Blessed are those who what? Mourn. Very loud. Blessed are those who what?
Mourn.
For what? One of the work of the Holy Ghost is going to comfort you. Yeah. The Holy Ghost has come to comfort you. When you mourn for the Lord, I pray that the Lord will bless us with mournings. Amen. With mournings. Amen. Amen. When you begin to get to this place, pastor's work will reduce. And they will not, you will just be longing for the Lord. You will not, you long for him. And you know what? Those that long for him, he shows up to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's see Proverbs 2. When we read the scripture, you see the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 2, verse 3. And I will implore you to say a very big amen, because the prayer is there. It says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Let's see it in NLT. NLT, thank you. It says, cry for what?
Insight.
Cry for what?
Insight.
And ask for what? Can you see what mourning does? Hey, so that's why I said it's not an emotional mourning or cry. It says, cry for what?
Insight.
We cry. You cry for it. You say, ask for what? Next verse. We're going to verse 15. Search for them as what? The same way you are going about your gold and silver.
Wow.
It's the same way you what? You cry for insight. It's the same way. So, the passion at which you are looking for silver and gold, are you using that same passion to cry for insight? After the earth wraps up, you will not need the silver and gold. You will be thanking God you have insight. And the earth is about wrapping up. This race for silver and gold, it will soon end. There's a timeline to that one, but for insight, there's no timeline. So the Bible knows what it's saying when it says, cry for it. It says what? Seek them like hidden treasures. Next one says, then you will understand what it means to what? Then you will understand. You know, I don't rush to say I fear the Lord. No. They will be bringing the understanding to your heart. When the insight is coming, you will now understand what it means to fear the Lord. You understand who he is and that he deserves the fear. He will baptize you with enough fear. Fear the Lord and you will gain what? For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants what? A treasure of what? Wow! I thought common sense should come from me. When I saw it, I was like, I was amazed. I was dazed. Even common sense comes from the Lord. You know what? My generation is too wise. He grants the treasure of what? But look at the character of the person who grants it to the honest. To the honest. It's to the honest. When you are cunning, the Lord will not grant you. Because it's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. It's not something that you find on the floor. But to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with what? He will be your shield. When you walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protect those who are faithful to him. There's no trouble you want to be in this life. If this is it, if this is you, he guards the path of the just and protect those who are faithful to him. He will guard you. Then you will what? I want to believe that David was like this.
Yes.
No wonder the Lord will just take away a sin like this. And everybody's angry. Honesty. Honesty. Then you understand what is what? Look at what will be happening to you. You understand what is right, what is just, and what is fair. We think we know what is fair, what is right, and what is just. Many times I think so. But the Lord is the one who will give you that understanding. And one of the ways, when trials and tribulation come to you, it actually purifies your eyes. You'll be able to judge properly. I explained that to you, don't worry. And you'll find the right way to go. you find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter into your heart. For wisdom will enter into your heart. And knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. My generation needs this. And I ask, Lord, that wise choices will watch over us. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people. And from those words that are twisted. Those whose words are twisted. This man turned from the right way to walk down dark paths. They take pleasure in doing wrong. And they enjoy twisted ways of evil. Their actions are crooked. And their ways are what? Are wrong. Go to the verse 13 again. 13 or 12. I want to repeat the prayer. Wisdom what? Save you from evil people. Amen. Down that verse are the description of those evil people. Yes. People that snatch you from the right way. And their words to you are twisted. Yeah. When they are talking to you, even you don't know. May the Lord help us. Yeah. May the Lord help. I've been around people like that. That when they give me counsel, I'll just be confused. I'll be like, then because I don't know God too much, the little that I know, I'll be like, but I really respect this person. You know? He'll be saying the truth. But the Lord will save you from them. Yeah. You know, too much smartness cannot save you from them. I couldn't leave them alone because I didn't know much. But the Lord saved me from them. Amen. And the Lord will save you from them. Amen. The evil people around you, you don't know. You cannot identify them. The Lord will save you from them. Amen. The Lord will save you from those whose words are twisted. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I'm so thankful that trials and tribulation actually causes us to stay close to God. One of the things you realize is that when you're going through trials and tribulation, you and Jesus will be close. I mean, it happens to everybody. When everything is rosy, you'll be doing God high five. But when the trial and tribulation hit you in a very bad place, so God actually uses it to draw us to Him. You know, I said the other time that when you know what trials and tribulation does, you can count it. So look back now at your life. All the trials, all the sufferings, all the tribulation. What did He do to you? Brought you close to the Lord. It brought you close to the Lord. Without it, you will not be here. If I was Dangote's daughter, I know where I would be. And that's not even the suffering I'm talking about. But I know where I will be. Yes. I'll be speaking to some people today, and the Lord will deliver you. Yes. It causes us to stay. And you know what it does again? It actually recalibrates our priorities. When it hits you, you adjust yourself. It rearranges everything. You know, I told you the other time that it actually purifies your sight. You can see well. We were seeing blurry before. But when you go through it, you begin to see things well. You see things better. Say, I know better now. I know better now. Just because of one trial, I know better now. I can see well now. It's good. God uses also to call us into repentance. And sadly, it is this very troublesome and during these hard times that the message hits deep. You know, sometimes pastor would have labored and taught us. I remember when I went through one particular accident. It was in this house. I remembered all the messages Pisa preached in a flash. You know, sometimes when you are going home after service, they will ask you, hey, what did the pastor preach today? You're like, remind me one line. I'll remember the rest. Does it happen to you? And Pisa does it to me very well. He asks me, what did I preach today? I say, wait, oh. After I heard you, yes, sir. Okay, sir. I've forgotten everything. Well, when I had that accident, in a flash, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I remembered all the messages I needed. Those were my armories. Yes, I used them to fight. It was in that accident I learned to say, thank God. I just found myself saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was tough, but I said, thank you, Jesus. How did I get there? Just staying like this. You see, this your coming to church is not normal. Hey. The days you will need it are coming. The Lord would have fortified you. When things happen to you, then you begin to download it. But if you stay at home, it will not happen like that. It's the other way around. You will say, Mogbe, Modaro. I said, I didn't even know I remember the message. You remember that message? Joy, joy, joy. There was one time we had a flood of water, broke down our fence, and I was pregnant. My child was at home. The first child was at home. It was a funny story. I said, all right, no problem. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. That was that I went to do photo shoot too. Yes. I took myself. I did makeup. I did photo shoot. I said, snap me. Snap me now. This is the time to rejoice in the Lord. This is the time to rejoice in the Lord. The devil will not take my joy. He will not take my joy. He will not take it. When he's trying to snatch it, I'll collect it back. Say joy, joy, joy. After I dealt with him, he left him for a while. Say, this girl is crazy. Trials and tribulations. There was a day I went for a program like that, and I came very late. I went to my house very late. I was not married then. And my dad sent me out of the house, said I was very late. So I was so sorrowful because I remember that I'm the only one that goes to church in this house. Those were the thoughts I had, like, Emily, call on Lord Church. The other people, I know where they are going to. That we used to open the door. I will not say where they are going to. Well, we used to go open the gate for them 2 a.m. Don't worry about where they are going to. I felt so sad. I felt abandoned. I felt alone. I felt everything I can feel in this world. Now, is it a crime to serve God? For me, I was like, a parent should be happy that the child is going to church. No, it was the other way around. I slept out. Thank God for Pastor Deji's mom that took me in that night. Yeah. Of course. Of course, who would I have called? I called Pizza. If not, I don't know where I would have slept though. Those are trials and tribulations. I don't know where I would have slept. I was thinking that day. I was so sad. I didn't even remember whether I needed to sleep somewhere or not. I was just so sad. I was alone outside. And I was thinking about myself. A young girl like me. Like I was thinking a lot of things altogether. But you know, those were my formative years. And the Lord used it to strengthen me. Without trials and tribulation, you'll be a weak Christian. They'll be pampering you. When you go to small issue like this, people will surround you, your friends. No, you will survive. You'll be okay. Don't worry. No. You need to be a soldier of Christ. You need to be a soldier. You need to be strong. It's not strength, outward strength. It's inward strength. And it is these trials and tribulations that will form you, that will strengthen your heart, fortify it. Praise God. So it is when you go through these kind of trials that it hits, the message hits deep. You know, somebody will be counseling you, you know, don't do this, don't do that. When you now go through stuff, like, now I know. You are able to say it for yourself. Now you know. You know what that thing does to you? Aside from you knowing, you can teach others. So when somebody is going the other way, you say, don't go there. I know that place. I've been there before. Because you know. Praise God. Let's see 1 Peter 1, 6. Praise God. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 9. Let's see it first in NLT. Okay. So be truly what? Glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for what? A little while. Don't forget that one. It's a little while. It's never forever. Next verses. These trials will show you that your faith is what?
Genuine.
You need something to show you what you have inside you.
Yes. Genuine.
Genuine faith. You need it. You need that fire to show you what you have. They will check it, whether it's genuine. Is then you will know those who will draw back and those who will follow on. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you what? And what?
And
what? Did you see the next line? On the day. You can read it again. On the day. Look forward to this day. You know, when you're going through things now, nobody's seeing you, nobody appreciates you, nobody's thanking you. Don't worry. It will bring you what? Praise. Much praise. Much. It will bring you much praise. It will bring you glory. It will bring you honor on that day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Then they will separate human beings from human beings. You just notice, my friend is here. Wow. What did you go through? So don't worry. Nobody knows here on earth. Forget about this. You see, you think too much on the earth. Bible says, set your mind. Set it there. Take your mind away from this earth. Set it somewhere else. Is that 9? That's 8, right? So we're going to 9. You love him, what? This is the most beautiful. I mean, this thing gave me like some kind of my stomach is in me somehow. I love this part. It says, even though you love him, even though you haven't seen him, you will get a reward that day. This will be the reward. It will be, you haven't seen Jesus, but you love him. Though you do not see him now, but you what?
Trust
him. The angels won't get this reward. Because what? They always see him.
Yes.
But you don't always see him. But in that your quietness, in that your aloneness, you trust him. You see him. The Lord will reward you for that.
Yes.
It's not for angels. It's for all of you. It's a beautiful thing. You trust him. You rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. And 9 says what? What's the hang? Look at, do you know, when I read it, I forgot that there's a reward. I just said that when I read the verse 8, I didn't remember this part. It says the reward for what? For trusting will be what? There's reward. Don't think you're alone. Don't think that you're doing this work alone. There's a place where you'll be giving rewards. And it will be the saving of your soul, salvation. Amen.
Amen.
Let's see Luke 6, 22 and 23. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Serving the Lord is great. The privilege to be with him is great. Always celebrate salvation. Luke 6, 22. What blessings await you? Okay, I don't mind. Let me first read the NLT, then I can go back to NKJV. What blessings await you when people what? And what? And what? And what? As what? Because you follow what? Do you have that experience?
Yes.
Some people are just bitter with you as you are following God, as you are going to church every day. He don't worry. She won't call him marriage. So, you know, someone actually told me one day I was reading my Bible, and the person told me, say, it's only you that is going to heaven. We are going to that heaven together. The way you are reading this, your Bible, don't think that it's only you are going to heaven. I say, I was just reading my Bible. But I've tormented her soul. He says, when that happens, be what? But you know, instead of being happy, you're always worried. You're always sad. They are talking about me. I'm going to church too much. I'm doing this too much. For a lady that is not married, you're like, I'm going to church too much. Will I see your husband to marry like this? Your friends are talking about you that, you're not even following us out. How do you want to get married? When they say things like that, what should you do? Leap for joy. It's a good thing. They should talk about you. Why shouldn't they talk about you? They should talk about you. You are worthy of that conversation. They say all you know is Jesus. Every time, Jesus, Jesus, any small thing, Jesus. You should do what? Leap for joy. Leap for joy. It's a worthy thing. All you know is prayers. Any small thing, prayer. Prayer. Prayer, yo. What, when they say that about you, what should you do?
Live for joy.
Live for joy. Say, yes, I'm doing the right things.
Yes.
I'm doing the right things. Oh, you have dedicated your life to serve God. They say you did not go to school. Meanwhile, you know where God stopped you. Okay, you went to school, you got a job, but you refuse to take the job because you want to do something for the Lord, as the Lord instructs you. But people are talking about you behind your back. What should you do? Is a worthy thing. I want these things to be a residual knowledge inside you. Let it just rest in your soul. Live for joy. Live for joy. Everybody is worried about what is happening in Nigeria, but you don't show any form of worry. But your friends and your colleagues at work, I say, are you okay? Are you normal? When they are talking about what's happening with Fue, they're like, we'll be fine. Everything will be okay. Don't worry about it. Kilo share. Sometimes they are so vexed that they want to beat you up. What should you do? Live for joy. Be happy is worthy. Live for joy. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, which verse is this? 23. I remember the ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. Jesus already said it, that when I was in the world, they did not really like me like that, though. You, God, don't think they will like you. He has already said it. So if you're expecting everybody to like you, to love you, you're wasting your time. You know what I learned as I'm working with God? God gives you people that love you. It's not you that will go and look for them. God will give you souls that love you. They will love you. You'll even be running away from the love. They will love you so much, they want to die for you. God gives people like that. Praise God. Let's see Hebrews 10:35. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away what? Don't cast it away.
Yes.
Which has what?
Praise.
Don't throw it away. Next one says, for you have need of what? Endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive what?
The promise.
Are you going to receive the promise?
Yes.
The promise is coming. And the timing of it, they called it beautiful. Beautiful. If it's not that timing, it's not beautiful. But once it hits the timing, it's usually beautiful. And the world celebrates you. Yes. You receive the promise of the salvation of your soul. You receive it. Next verse says what? For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall what? Live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But I believe there are no persons here drawing back. I believe so.
Yes.
That there are no persons here drawing back. No teenager drawing back. It's not that when you enter school, something will happen to you. One wind will blow you. No, not yet. Not here. There is grace. All our teenagers, there's grace. You think that when they are going to school, may I be afraid that if he's going to school now, we don't know one boy that will come and sweep her away from this salvation thing. This is a praying life. She should be able to continue. No, I don't have such fear. I have faith. And my faith is full that they will be kept. None of them will draw back. It's the Holy Ghost that will do it. The Holy Ghost is powerful. He will keep each and every one of them. None of our young ladies, our young men will draw back. No. Say no, no, no.
No, no, no.
No, no, no. None of us will draw back. When we are 50 years, we'll still be serving the Lord. When we are gray old, we'll still be serving the Lord. Whether we see the promise or not, we'll still be serving. We will not draw back. We will not be disappointed in God. May we not say, God, I'm disappointed in you. No, 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 no. No. We will not draw back. Praise God. If you're a wife here and you're doing all the will of God, you're obeying the Lord, obeying the scripture, keep doing it. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. If you're a husband here, you're loving, but the other person is just decided to remain unlovable. You know, there are people like that. They just remain what? Unlovable. There are people like that. Just keep loving. See, your own is to do your part of the commandment. Do your hands like this. Say, I am a custodian of his commandments. What we hold is his commandment. We hold it. We don't lean on the other person. I say, when you love me, I will submit. When you submit to, I will love you. Why do you want to wait still? Just do your part. Your part is powerful. Should I say that again? If you're the only one doing your part as per submission, or you're the only one doing your part as per loving, it is powerful enough to convict the other. So keep the will of God intact. You will not be tired. You will not be weary. You will not draw back. In the name of Jesus. Keep serving the Lord. You are young. You are not yet married. Keep serving the Lord. Keep at it. And do it joyfully. Let people that are married be provoked. Yes. You see, you keep saying if somebody is doing wedding night in church, you'll be saying, God, when? God, when? Even when we are looking at you, God, when? This singleness is sweet, oh, God, when? Oh, okay, because we don't need to say it out, Abby. After you carry Godia, Aliyah, Amavik on your head, you'll be looking at that single lady as she's doing like this. In your heart, you say, God, when? Beautiful wherever you are. Keep at it. If you're taking care of a baby, don't be frustrated. Keep at it. Keep doing the will of God. If your home is to raise a child, keep at it. Don't draw back. The Lord is your strength. Praise God. I said suffering produces clear sight, and I said you have good judgment. Another thing about trials and tribulations is there are moments of promotions in the kingdom. And I learned this from Pizak. There are moments of, I've seen Pastor Zach go through trials and tribulation, and it comes out on top of it. And I'm talking about many years ago. I learned it. So when I studied him, I'm like, okay, that's good. When we were in school, he went through a couple of things. Your ear cannot hear it. You'll be full. But each time he's in that, what I noticed, what I learned and I studied is that each time he's in it, it changes his emotion, just it changes his atmosphere. You just like nothing's happening. I don't know how to do. See, the thing is, you have to learn the ways of God. When you learn his ways, oh mama, your body. I don't know how to say that in English, sorry. Your worries. Things will be happening to you. People will be confused. Is it not happening to him? Is it happening to him? Because God will just be rescuing you. Because you have learned his ways. Now what I said now is very deep. If you know how to do it, you will be flying high in life. You'll be flying high. Trials are moments of what? Promotions. When you're going through it, heaven's watch light is on you. They'll be watching you from heaven. Let's watch how it's going to take care of this. The moment you are introduced to trials and tribulation, heaven's spotlight is on you. They'll be watching you. Watching you. They did it for Jesus. They'll just be watching him. Is he going to pull back now? Is he going to do the will of God? You know when he went to pray in Gethsemane? He said, can this cup pass over me? He was almost going to give up. Then he said, no, Father, not that my will, but your will. There are moments of promotions. If he didn't go that route, we will not have a savior today. And most likely, God would have cleared the earth. But you think he has another savior? First Adam, last Adam. Yes. There's no other Adam. Thank Jesus, oh. Thank him, oh. Thank him, oh. Thank Jesus that he obeyed, oh. Hey, if Jesus is obeyed, there's no other Adam. Thank him. I always thank him for dying. For agreeing to die. For agreeing to come to the earth. Thank him. If you don't have anything to thank, if you don't have food, just look at your empty plate. Say, thank you, Jesus. You saved me. It's enough thanksgiving. So there are moments of promotions. See, when you are in a trial or a tribulation, just harm yourself. Be sensitive. That period. I'm going to read a particular scripture for you. To you, rather. I'm going to be talking about how to engage. Romans 12:12. How do we engage when you're facing a trial, a tribulation? And we all face it in life, plus myself. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice what? Rejoice in hope. Patience in tribulation. Patience in what? Patience in what? Patience in what? Patience in what? There's a pressure tribulation brings to you. You can't be patient. It takes the strong to be patient. I learned that from Pisac. Anytime he's in tribulation, he's quiet. He will not talk much. He will not do much. It will be as though he's doing nothing. Patience in what? You cannot handle it. The Lord has to handle it on your behalf. Patience in what? Then what? Bible says if you are sorrowful, you say what? Pray. 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 I know you are crying, but pray. I know you are crying. I know. I have cried before too. But pray. Pray. Turn it to prayers. Let your emotions win out. But pray. Feel dry. Let it be dry. Let it be dry prayers. But what? Pray. Let it be dry. No song. Nothing. But what? Pray. Make sure you are praying. Make sure you are speaking in tongues. Then the tongues will turn your life around. Let me tell you one thing tongues does. When you're in trial, you don't even know what's going on. Many times you don't understand it. Like, what is this? Tongues is the language of heaven. When you engage tongues, the Holy Spirit will be praying through you. Then the heaven will be shifting. The heads will be shifting. Everything around you shifts. Praying in tongues shifts everything. Consistent prayers in tongues shift everything. The thing you don't know you're supposed to pray about, the tongues will be doing it. The things you don't know you're supposed to be asking God about, the tongues will be doing it. I know we ought to pray in understanding. But pray in tongues more. Pray in tongues more. There's one brother that you want to die on the neck of the brother. You want to marry him. Pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, tongues will chase the brother away. The brother will run far away because it's not the will of God for your life. It's tongues that does it. Tongues. Pray in tongues. Tongues. Release tongues. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. Release tongues. 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 Tongues everywhere. In your office, tongues. Don't let anybody take tongues away from you. Release tongues. Just be speaking in tongues. You don't know what to pray about. Release tongues. Steadfastly. Steadfastly. As though that's the only thing you have. And that's the only thing you have. That's the only thing you have. Release tongues. Every time, make sure you are releasing tongues. Don't be tired of praying in tongues. Don't ever be tired of praying in tongues. Tongues changes situations. Tongue brings light out of darkness. Tongues will give you understanding. After praying in tongues for a while, you will dream. They will give you insight. Then you come out with understanding. Tongues does that. Tongues. Tongues does that. It does that. You'll be seeing your life in film like this. Tongues. Enough tongues. Enough of it. Release enough tongues. You don't understand what is going on in your life? Release tongues. Tongues, just be releasing it. Don't care. It will be boring. It will be tough. But keep releasing the tongues. Keep releasing the tongues. Then things will begin to shift. In a matter of time, it will arrange itself. So that's what the scripture says. That's one way to engage. You are in a confused state. Steadfast in prayers. James 1:19. I'd have to run now. James 1:19, 20. Another way to engage it. Now, this thing actually happens both the tribulation you use your hand to cause by yourself and the one that comes because of Christ's sake. It's the same method you engage it. Say, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. And be what? Slow to speak. And what? Slow to wrath. Especially that wrath. That wrath. I've noticed that wrath. I've noticed it that when people are in tribulation, there's usually people are quick to wrath. I've noticed it. People are quick to wrath. And that wrath produces not the righteousness of God. It will produce your own righteousness, but it will not produce the righteousness of God. Let every man be what? Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not what? It doesn't. Every time you feel, your flesh feels like releasing wrath, withdraw, 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 withdraw. It doesn't produce anything. Withdraw. And if you release the wrath, you have just heaped something on your head. It's not towards the person. It's on your own head. Romans 8:28. Another way to engage. And we know. This one is knowledge. Another way to engage is knowledge. We know that all things work together for those who love God and who, and those who are called according to his purpose. We know. So when you're going through it, understand this, that all things work together. Have you not checked your life? Everything that you thought was going to bring you down, has it brought you down? Why? We know. We know there's a knowledge that those things, everything put together, works together. Instead of harming us, it actually works together. God uses every piece of your life. Look into your life. Don't throw away any piece. That's what I'm telling you this night. Don't throw away any piece of your life. Good, bad, ugly. Mix everything together. There are ingredients to produce. There are all ingredients to produce your purpose. It will work together for you. Because you are in the hands of God. Let's see John 16:33. You see this beautiful tool of engagement. And we know, okay, no, we're not there yet. John, okay, we're there. These things I have spoken to you, that what? In me, you have what? Peace is another tool of engagement. Peace. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have what? Oh, mashele. You have tribulation, but what? For you have what? Just pocket it like that. Put it somewhere. Those are tools of engagement. Peace is a tool. Use it. Every time anything faces you, use it as a tool. Say, I've given you that you have peace. And peace is inside. You fetch it out. You know you have the Holy Ghost. What is in the Holy Ghost? So, thinking about these three things, should a Christian be cast down? Whilst you are at it, whilst you are being worried and sorrowful, you just find out there's another thing inside of you. It's called peace. It's called joy. And there's righteousness. You just fetch it out. Praise God. Another two, Colossians 3:16. See another tool. This is a very powerful tool. But this tool, you have to have added it before any tribulation will come and kiss you. I'm telling you, this one, you have to have it. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all words, my friends, your 21 days is not a waste. You are being enriched by the word of God. I told you the last time I had a very terrible incident. It was the word of God that was within me that came out, not emergency word. It's not that when it happened to me, and I went to go open my Bible, Romans 5:5, Father, Lord, help me. No, that's not what I did. I didn't have the luxury of that time, Abby. It was what was in me. It was what I had eaten. You have been sitting down here for 21 days. You think it's normal? It's not normal. Yeah. 21 days. If they come 40 days, you will eat for 40 days. This is the meal of the Lord served. Automatic. You understand? Automatically. Anything that happens to you, you'll just be remembering. The Holy Ghost is in you to remind you. He will be reminding you. You'll be pressing the button. You will not forget. You will not forget. You may forget after service, but you will not forget. It's already imparted on you. You will not forget. When you leave this place, you will not forget. If you leave Nigeria, you will not forget. So let it dwell in you richly. Let the word of God be rich in you. Have enough of it. I beg you. After 21 days, go back. Do retreats. Stay on your own. Stay by yourself. That's what I wanted to teach on the usefulness of boredom. Stay by yourself. Don't die. Don't be shaking like this. When you are alone, don't be shaking like this. I need somebody as though you are on drugs. Some people are like that. They can't stay by themselves. They will have to have friends. They have to talk to somebody. They can't stay by themselves. If they collect their phone from them, they will be like, it will be like they are strangling them. Okay. Let me focus. It will be as if you are strangling them. If you collect their phone from them, like, it will be as if they are shaking. You know people that are on drugs, you know how they used to shake. Now that they'll be doing, I can't breathe. That's what I wanted to teach on the usefulness of boredom. You can be bored with Jesus in you. The Holy Ghost is in you is enough to keep you company. So the word of God, engage it. Another thing you should engage with is word and songs. One of the things Israel would use for warfare is songs. Songs of victory. So, you have gone through, he said you go through various trials. Various. After the first trial, you overcame. The second one, you overcame. You should have songs from there. You should have songs. Songs of victory. So, when another trial comes, you don't sing the song again. You pull it out. Say, I've been here before. You can't bring me down. You pull the songs out. And when you pull the songs out, then the Lord will begin to speak to you of new strategies. New strategies. Psalms 23. I'm going to be wrapping up here. Praise God. I want you to see how you'll now be a master. Psalm 23. I'm going to a particular verse. Verse 4.
verse 4. Now, some days ago, the Lord was giving me the scripture.
Yea, though I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death.
What's the next thing?
This is where the Lord is taking you to. This is where you are headed to. This is where you are going to. After various trials, after various tribulations, then when you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, you will know it. When you are going through, you'll be walking through it like this, heads high. You fear no evil. You have been harmed by that time. You have mastered it by that time. By that time, you have songs. You have well of victory. You have enough testimonies. You have enough testimonies. You just treat it as though it's one of those things. Say, I fear no evil. I fear no evil. At this time, you are a master of it. The devil will be afraid of you. The devil will be afraid. Let me finish reading that scripture. For what? The rod and your staff, they comfort me. May the Lord take you through this. So that when James is saying, count it all joy, you will not just be I don't even know what to call it, but you will be a strong Christian. Let's read it together, very loud. That scripture. Praise God. Psalms 23. It says what? Yea, though I walk through valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and a staff, they comfort me. Praise God. These are your armories. You'll be fine. You'll be flying high. You'll be flying high. People will not understand you. They will not understand how you're doing it. Then that will lead to the salvation of others. People will now come to you. How did you go through this? What's your testimony? Can you share with me? You went through that downtime. You did it. Who is your God? I want to know your God. Then you preach to the person. Then the person gives his life to Christ. Then she gives her life to Christ. Then we have more people in the kingdom. We have more people. You are bringing more people by your testimonies. In the name of Jesus. Let's begin to respond to the Lord. God has been kind to us tonight. God has been kind to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Ora dia zovleketina. I'm not a weakling. Mashatalaba. Arabakatala dia sakataya. Hey, come on, see alabasha. Ore bakatala bia satala dia. Oh, kabaraba ba 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 ba. Kadosa. Elakatola bia shana raba ba ba ba. Alekoti, yeah, pick me up from the miry clay, set my feet on the rock to stay. Just a pauper, now you made a king. You put your crown now upon my head. Who am I without you, Lord? All I have I got from you. All I have for you is praise. All you have for me is love. You picked me up from the miry clay. You set my feet on the rock to stay. Just a pauper, now you made a king.
You put your crown
now upon my head.
Who am I?
Who am I without you, Lord?
Oh, yes.
All I have I got from you. All I have for you is praise.
In all seasons.
All you have
every day. You are praise here.
You are praise.
Always.
Yahweh,
this worship is for you.
Yahweh,
we praise.
Worship,
we glory tribulation. See the lifting of my hands.
Yahweh, see.
Ay, ay, ay.
The lifting of my holy hands.
It's unto you.
It's unto you.
It's unto you.
It's unto you.
Come and lift up your hands, say you are praised here, Yahweh.
You are praised here,
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
This worship is for you,
Yahweh. This worship is for you.
See the lifting of my head,
Yahweh. See the lifting of my holy
head. It's unto you.
It's unto you.
It's unto you.
It's unto you.
For the last ice cream, you have praise here, Yahweh.
You have praise Yahweh.
This worship is for you,
Yahweh. This worship is for you.
See the lifting of my hands,
Yahweh. See
I love both
the lifting. Oh,
it's unto you.
It's unto you.
Just unto you.
It's unto you.
Aradabakasia ladana mashala dear. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can somebody give God the glory? Can somebody give God the praise? Can you give God a praise that goes, that supersedes your feeling?
Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus!
What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve.
From God. Thank you so much, Pastor D. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for carrying such a pure fire. You know, Pastor D carries a pure, an authentic fire. Authentic fire. And I know that God will release that fire to a generation. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Such great fire, such great word on how to go through tribulations and trials, which we will definitely face. You know, one of the things I want us to take away from this teaching is that you have to know that you are not ordinary. You know, one of the things I tell Satan when I'm talking to him, one of the things I tell myself is that I'm dangerous. I'm aware that I'm dangerous. I'm a dangerous guy. I tell myself that I'm a dangerous guy. I let it stay in my brain. I'm not a weakling. Huh? Are you a weakling?
No.
I'm a dangerous guy. The Philistines didn't know how they underestimated Samson's. Yeah, they underestimated him. They know he's dangerous, but they didn't understand the extent of how dangerous he is. That's why they say had the liver to put him in the same room. Samson, you joke. That was their biggest mistake. They do not understand how dangerous the person they are dealing with is. They told the old Samson to be dancing for them. Ah! Just because you have removed his eyes. Samson. Samson, just tap one small child. Can you let me lay on the wall? That's a real Boko Haram. He was not looking for deliverance. That's what the Bible told us in Hebrews chapter 11. That there is a kind of faith that comes upon you. It says they were not, they don't, those people don't seek deliverance. Eh? People who are ready to, the only thing that is on their head is assignment. To finish it. What is on their head is not to remain. It's just to, you know, when you meet those kind of people, run away. People who there's nothing too costly for them to put on the line to the fulfillment of their assignment. Those are dangerous people. That's why terrorism is dangerous. How do you want to fight somebody who planned to use his life to take yours? You don't understand. His life is the weapon. The guy strapped bomb in his body. Someone whose life is his weapon to destroy you. I mean, those kind of people, you can't tell them, if you try that, I will kill you. He had died before coming to you. Say, I'm dangerous.
I'm dangerous.
No, that dangerous person. Jesus is dangerous. Jesus is dangerous. Very dangerous man. That man came to this world and changed the game. He came to the world and turned everything around. Now Satan is now being messed every day because of what Jesus did. And he did it through his death. Dangerous. He had his greatest victory when Satan was having his biggest celebration. Satan was doing party. He didn't know he was losing. That's how dangerous Jesus is. So I don't care what the enemy is bringing your way. You are danger. Around you, the enemy is an endangered species. Around you. The enemy is what? It's not the enemy that is dangerous. You are the danger. You are the one Satan is looking for scripture to push you away. He's trying to quote scripture to push you away. Yes, that was what he went to do when Job was so dangerous. He said, God, is it serving you for nothing? He was trying to use righteous words to deal with Job. That's how dangerous Job was. And Job beat him home and away. When they went to play, because Job has always been home. So Satan said, allow me, let me bring Job to my home. So God said, oh yeah, Job, go away. So Job went away and was in Satan's home. And by the time Satan finished everything, Job still won him home and away. Job now became times two of what he was before. But see how tribulation led to his elevation. Yeah. So you are dangerous, though. That's what Balaam told, what's his name? Balak. These guys are dangerous. So Balaam was just looking for altar where he was going to curse them. He said, we can't curse them. We can't curse them. These ones are not curseable. You are not curseable. But they had one trap for them. He said, give them babes. Babes. Let them stab themselves. See, sexual immorality is ongoing. Sexual immorality is ongoing. You score inside your own net. If there's a way to assure that your prophecy will not come to pass, live in sexual immorality. You will not fulfill your destiny. You will not. No matter the prophecy. You cannot fulfill prophecy and sexual immorality. Immediately you are living in sexual immorality, Satan will recall his demons so that they should not waste their time on you. Say, don't. Let's go somewhere else. Yeah. There's no need for work again. That's why we are warned to flee youthful lust. One of the things you must run away from is sexual immorality. That thing is bad. Are you with me, my friends?
Yes,
sexual sin. And you need to deal with sexual sin by fervency. Fervency one and brain. Brain. Your HQ. Fervency and your HQ must work to deal with sexual immorality. Because you will never not want it. There are a lot of sin that you don't want. For example, you don't want to steal. You don't want a gun to go on. It's not a temptation. How many of you feel like carrying a gun? Other sins we don't want. The only sin that if God can tell us that my children, I'm telling you the truth right now, it's not a sin. It's part of life. Everybody, 99%, except for me, 99%. 99% of everybody say, God, is it not realistic? I'm telling you, it's not realistic. Thank you. It's the only sin that we want. It's not like, demons don't have to blow any powder. That sin is a sin that no powder was blown on you, nothing happened to you, no demon, no, they did not push you. All those one is your dramatic way of going to do what you want to do. It's just your dramatic way. Now, you don't even know what came upon me. No, I can bet you nothing really came upon me. You want to not near sexual sin. So you need fervency, which is, you know, your prayer life, your Bible study life, and the things you allow to enter into your gates, the gates of your eye and the gates of your ear. You have to watch it regularly. Regularly. Then you have to use your brain, your HQ. There are places you don't want to go. There are people you will notice that the collection of this number and hell is yeah. Yeah, the numbers you don't want to collect, they are just release the number. Just don't take the number. Let it go. So that you don't go. Yeah. You have to mitigate, you have to structure your life in a way where in your lowest point, You have not created opportunity. You mustn't create opportunity for yourself. So that even when you are crazy, you have not allowed opportunity till strength comes. Yeah? And this is for men and for women. Are you together with me? No, sexual sin is terrible. There's consequences for sexual sin. Is that okay?
Yes,
so you structure your life. Now, I'm not saying there will be sexual temptation till forever. They were asking that the Jew that now that is old, did you tell them about how we handled sexual sin in the past? He said, no, forget past now. He said, the structures I put down then, I put more now than then. Yes. So you won't outgrow it. You will just be in control of it. The day you think you have outgrown it, that it is not one of your weaknesses. That's why any man that does not have a wedding date should not date. What you do in relationships without wedding date is sexual sin.
Yes, sir.
You need somebody that will tell you like that. Any girl you are dating now that you plan to marry next 2 years is sexual sin that will happen. You use that sexual thing to augment those years. You understand? That's why you say it doesn't matter what you do, or you know, those revelations will make sense to you. Date when there is a what?
Wedding date.
So that all of us are racing towards. So how do you know you are not ready for a girlfriend? You don't have a date. Yes, that's how you know it's not God talking to you. You don't have a date. Because you don't want sexual sin in your life. Is that okay? That's what the Lord said I should say to you, and then that will be the only time I'll talk about it in these 21 days. So please, I want you to clean your house. Do you understand? Clean your house. Watch your gates. Watch your gates, and make sure there are no opportunities around you, right? And if you're already stuck, scream. You understand? If you're stuck, what do I mean by stuck? What in by soon? What in buy so? Somebody didn't buy so, I'm buying so lonely. Oh, understand? Because skinny, I like a gun. Because the pleasure to that be like a ye. That's why God gives you someone that, do you understand? And wives and husbands, you need to be having a lot of sex. Because after fornication is adultery. It's not like, you know, and adultery is easier than fornication. Because when you have real level of adultery, you can sponsor the fornication. Yeah. You are wiser now. You are wiser, you have more money, you have money, you can sponsor it. Fornication is like a breeding ground, a training ground to mature. So if you have not mastered fornication, adultery will master you. Are you together? So those of you who God has kept, don't be thinking that, I will leave you. Who God has kept, say, I've never really had an adventure. Don't, it's not, hey. Oh, Mokoto Lord, she fue. If God has preserved you from young, keep it that way. Don't waste it. Go and ask those who God picked from the Mary clay. Even though they're on the throne, at night they see you to go to Mary clay. Yeah. So don't say, I will like me. I've never done this before. I just, hey. Just thank God for your life. Are you together with me? And it's all Satan's lies. You get the point? Is that what? It's all Satan lies. As a child of God, there's no time you fornicate or commit adultery that you are glad you did. It's all Satan lies. There's no special pleasure that all the girls I've been with are slim. If I can, fat one has a different pleasure. Doesn't have is demons talking to you. There's no pleasure in fat. To say, I've never been with a short girl. You are just shortening your life. Are you listening to me? Most of when you understand, you have to mitigate against sex. You will always have the temptation. But you must mitigate against the sin. The temptation is not the sin. The sin is an action. And then you must take out all the options that makes the action easy. That makes the possibilities. Is that, have you heard me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So that your prophecy can come to pass. Even if it's not because you love God, start with for selfish reason. I won't go into sexual sin so that my lady. But Pastor Zach, there are people who are not born again who are doing life and are great without sexual sin. Greatness is different from fulfillment of prophecy.
Yes,
you might be doing well and you are not doing anything that God has ordained you to do. So when I mean doing well, I'm not talking money. Money is not doing well. So I'm not saying with sexual sin you don't have money. I'm just saying you won't fulfill what God has ordained for you. Eh? So when you notice that you are stuck in sexual sin, you have somebody that you are sleeping with, it's just a call. If the person calls you like this, you are gone. Even if you are in 21 days. You need to look for a pastor. Pastor you talk to, because not everybody can forgive. Don't be foolishly sincere. Don't be foolishly sincere. Don't say, I don't want to open to my brother. No, don't be foolishly sincere. Go and speak to a spiritual leader. Do you understand? It's not everybody that, it's God that has the power of forgiveness and the people who have been matured. Do you understand? Not someone that after you tell, the next time the person sees you, say, Nimbolo Timbo. Did somebody tell you that, Jerry? Did someone tell you Bulutimbo?
No.
Because the way you are laughing, you are making me. You understand? You need to speak to someone who has the Spirit of God in a way where they will not see you by whatever. Yeah, it takes a level of anointing to see people the way God sees them and not to see them by their failures. Someone like me, now there's nothing you tell me, gets to a point, I won't remember. I have the grace not to remember. I don't know how. I would just say, me and this person, the only thing I know about you is, thus saith the Lord. I watch my prophecies over some of you. I watch it manifest. Are you together with me? Because sin is not your identity. It's just a manifestation of your folly. So that's that. So, I'll be preaching my last major message in these 21 days on Friday. So Friday night is a serious night. I'll be teaching on how to receive the transfer of spirit. How to position yourself for the transfer of spirit. That's what I'll be preaching. And I already have the download. I'll be talking about 7 important things for you to receive the spirit. A transfer of the spirit. What's a transfer of the spirit? A transfer of the spirit is a grace that is in working form. There's grace. When God gives you grace, you grow, you mature, you learn how to operate grace. But when you receive a transfer of spirit, it is grace that has started working. So it's in its working form. So it comes upon you. You don't need the luxury of years to learn it. It works. Yes. So I will teach on that because there's a way to receive it that way. I've received it that way. What works in my father's works in my life. What the grace upon them works in my life. I'm doing everything they are doing. I do it. What they are doing, I'm doing it. I'm replicating it in my life. And it's not haphazard. It's not fluke. There is a way for it to be. You need to be taught. So I will teach and I will pray. So you don't want to miss that. That will be Friday night. So you can call it, I don't know what you will call it, night of impartation, night of whatever, night of transfer, or collection nights. That's it. You know, I have the gift of impartation. It's my gift. And when I mean impartation, I don't mean falling on the ground. That's what I'm talking about. I mean a transfer that changes somebody's life. When people meet me, if you give them a few months, something from me enters them and their life will change. And the people around them will ask them what has happened to you. It's a gift. I have it. I'm not just a Bible teacher. Do you understand? If you don't like how your life is going, you want to... I have grace to turn life like car. I will turn it. It will go in a better way. You understand? If it's going on a bad road, we put it on a good road. And it will go on the express and it will be... Yeah. So we'll be having that experience on Friday night by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.